Hi, I'm Derek, and this is PHP Internals News, a weekly-ish podcast dedicated to demystifying the development of the PHP language. This is episode 38. I'm talking with Nikita Popov about a few things that have happened over the holidays. Nikita, how were your holidays?
My holidays were great.
I thought I'd start with something else than I did last year. In any case, I'm wanting to talk to you this morning about something that happened to PHP 7.4 over the holidays, and that is issues with preloading on Windows with PHP 7.4. I have no idea what the problem is here. Would you try to explain this to me?
So there were actually quite a few issues with preloading the early PHP 7.4 releases. The feature definitely did not get enough testing. Most of the issues have been fixed in 7.4.2. But if you're using preload user, what you have to use if you're running under root, then you will probably still see crashes, and that's going to be fixed in the next release.
In 7.4.3.
Right. But to get back to Windows, Windows has a very different process architecture than Linux. In particular, on Linux or BSD, we have fork, which basically just takes a process and copies its entire memory state to create a new process. This is a lot cheaper than it sounds because it all reuses memory until it's actually changed.
It's copy and write.
Copy and write, exactly. The same functionality does not exist on Windows, or at least it's not publicly exposed. So on Windows, you can only create new processes from scratch that do not reuse memory from the previous one. And for Upcache, this is a problem because Upcache would really like to reference internal classes defined by PHP. But because we store things in shared memory, which is shared between multiple processes, we now have the problem that these internal classes can reside at different addresses in these different processes. On Linux, it's always going to be the same address because we are forking, and that keeps the address. On Windows, each process could have a different address. And especially because Windows, since I think Windows Vista, uses address space layout randomization, this is actually pretty much always going to be a different address.
Because that's a security feature.
Exactly, it's a security feature.
Would it also be a problem on Linux if you'd start a process instead of forking it?
Yes, it would be a problem. The difference is just that on Linux we don't do that. Upcache has quite a different architecture on Windows. On Linux, we do not allow to attach to an existing Upcache from a separate process. So the only way to share an opcache is to use fork. On Windows, because of this restriction that we don't have fork, we do allow this kind of attachment. And that's why we have to deal with these kind of issues. So that's actually a general problem, not just for preloading. Difference is just that normally we can just say, okay, we do not allow any references to internal classes from shared memory on Windows. It's like a slight hit to optimization, but it's not super important. While with preloading, we have to link the entire class graph during preloading. And if you have any classes that, for example, extend from an internal class, like extend from exception, or in some cases, even just use an internal class as a type hint, then we would not be able to store these kind of references in shared memory on Windows. And because for preloading, it's pretty much inevitable that you run into the situation, you just can't realistically do preloading on Windows.
Hence the decision being made, just turning it off instead of trying to and always failing pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of did work before. You just got a bunch of warnings that these classes haven't been preloaded. And if people tried it out, with a simple example, they would see, great, preloading is working. But once they move to their actual complex application that uses internal classes at various points, it turns out that actually, no, it doesn't really work in practice. And to avoid that, we just disable it entirely.
That seems like a reasonable solution to this. Do you think at some point this can be fixable in another clever way?
Well, main way in which it can be fixed is to avoid this kind of multi-process attachment on Windows. The alternative to having multiple processes is to have multiple threads, which do share an address space, basically same as fork, just with thread in the end. But that, of course, depends on what kind of web server you're using and what kind of SAPI you're using. And I think nowadays on Windows, threaded web servers are somewhat more popular than on Linux. It's still not the majority deployment strategy.
I think it used to be that threaded process models on Windows were a lot more common when PHP just came out for Windows, because it was an ISAPI module which was always threaded. From what I remember, the original reason why we had ZTS in the first place. Yeah, at some point that started moving to PHP FPM kind of models because it didn't use threading and it was tended to be a lot safer to use it that way.
Right. I mean, threading has issues in particular because things like locales are per process, not per thread. So processes are usually safer to use.
Anything else interesting that happened that went wrong with preloading? Or do you not want to mention them?
The rest is mostly just that we have two different ways of doing preloading. One is using opcache compile file, and the other is using require or include. And the difference between them is that opcache compile file compiles the file, but does not execute it. In that case, the way we perform preloading is that we first collect all classes, and then we like gradually link them, actually register them, always making sure that all the dependencies have already been linked. And this is the mode that did, I think, mostly work well at the release of PHP 7.4. And the other one, the require approach, is where we, well, require directly executes the code and registers the classes. And in that case, basically, if it turns out that some kind of dependency cannot be preloaded for some reason, we simply have to abort preloading because we cannot recover from that. This abortion was missing. And well, it turns out that in the end, the way people actually use preloading is using the require approach, not using the opcache compile file approach.
Although that's the one used in most of the examples that I've seen and in the documentation.
Right. It has some advantages to use require.
Something else that happened over the holidays is that you've worked on several RFCs. There are too many to talk about that all in this episode, but one of the earlier ones was a weak map or weak maps RFC, which sort of builds on top of the weak references that we already got in PHP 7.4. What's wrong with the weak references and why do we now need weak maps?
There's nothing wrong with weak references. As a reminder, what weak references are about, they allow you to reference an object without preventing it from being garbage collected. So if the object is unset, then you're just left with a dangling reference, and if you try to access it, you get back null instead of the object. Now, the probably most common use case for any kind of weak data structure is a map or an associative array where you have objects and want to associate some kind of data with them. Typical use cases are caches or other memoized data structures. And the reason why it's important for this to be weak is that you do not, well, if you want to cache some data related to the object and then nobody else is using that object, you don't really want to keep around that cache data, because no one is ever going to use it again, and it's just going to take up memory usage. And this is what the weak map does. So you use objects as keys, you use some kind of data as the value, and if the object is no longer used outside this map, then it's also removed from the map as well.
So you mentioned objects as keys. Is that something new? Because I don't think currently PHP supports that.
I mean, you can't use objects as keys in normal arrays. That doesn't work. For example, the array access interface and the traversable interface, they don't really care what your key types are. So you can use anything as a key.
I had glanced over that point, yes. A weak map is something that then implements array access.
That's right.
How does the interface of a weak map look like? How would you interact with it?
Yeah, actually, it just implements all the magic interfaces in PHP. So array access, you can access the weak map by key, where the key is an object. Reversible, that is, you can iterate over the weak map and get both the keys and the values. And of course, countable, so you can count how many elements there are in there. And that's it.
All the methods, there's plenty of them then. That should be 9 or 10 or so, right?
5.
No, there's the 6 of iterator.
Right, yeah, there is this little detail where when you implement traversable in internal classes, you don't actually have to implement the iterator methods. That's why there is a few less.
Who's going to benefit from this new feature?
Like, one of the big users for weak maps are things like ORMs, where, database records are represented as objects, and there is data stored related to these objects. And I think it's a well-known issue that if you're using ORMs, you can sometimes run into memory usage issues. And the absence of weak structures is one of the reasons why that can happen. So that they just keep holding onto information even though the application actually doesn't use it anymore.
Did a specific ORM request this feature?
I don't think so.
Because weak maps are something done as an internal class in PHP. How are these things implemented? Is there something interesting? Because I remember talking to Joe about weak references last year. There is some functionality where it would automatically do something on the destructor of, rather, of the object. Is this something that also happens with weak maps?
So, yeah, the mechanism how weak references and weak maps work is basically the same. So there is a flag on each object that can be set to indicate that it has a weak reference or a weak map. If the object is destroyed and has this nice flag, then we execute a callback that is going to remove the object from the weak reference or from the weak map or from multiple weak maps.
It's because there is some kind of registry that links an object.
So we store all the weak references, weak maps an object is part of, so we can efficiently remove it.
When I was reading the RFC, I saw something like SPL object ID mentioned, which is a way how to basically identify a specific object. Is this something related to weak references or weak maps? Or is this something else no longer used or people should no longer use pretty much? Because I guess this was a way previously how to identify an object and then associate this extra data with it, like you mentioned that ORMs would do for a cache.
Right, so it's kind of related, but also not. So one is not a replacement for the other, just different use cases. We used to have SPL object hash for a very long time, and I think somewhere around PHP 7.0 or maybe later, SPL object ID was introduced, which does the same, just returns an integer, and because of that is more efficient. But in the end, what both of these functions do is return a unique identifier for an object, but this identifier is only unique as long as the object is alive. So these object IDs are reused when objects are destroyed.
And that makes them not usable for associating cache data with a specific object?
That makes them usable for associating cache data, but you also have to store the object to make sure it does not get destroyed in the meantime. So that's how you get around the restriction that you cannot use objects as array keys. That's what you need the ID for. But you still have to store the a strong reference to the object to make sure it's not garbage collected and this ID starts referencing some kind of other object.
When you say strong reference, that is what PHP references are traditionally.
That's the normal reference.
Well, because it's been quite some time since this got introduced, from what I understood, this has been accepted?
Oh, yeah, it's been accepted. 25.0.
25.0. That doesn't happen very often.
Most RFCs are maybe not anonymous, but usually either they are 95% accepted or they are rejected really hard. There is not a lot of middle ground.
That's pretty good though. In any case, we'll see this in PHP 8, I suppose, coming out later in the year.
That's right, yes.
Well, thank you for taking the time today to talk to me about weak references and preloading, especially on Windows. Thank you for taking the time then.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
Thanks for listening to this installment of PHP Internals News, the weekly-ish podcast dedicated to demystifying the development of the PHP language. I maintain a Patreon account for supporters of this podcast, as well as the Xdebug debugging tool. You can sign up for Patreon at https://drck.me/patreon. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to email them to Derek@phpinternals.news. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.